The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
First win of the season for the Blackhawks after they take down the Utah Mammoth 3-1. Steve, it wasn't pretty. The Hawks, I think, finished with only 14 shots on goal, but it was one of those, they found a way to win even when they weren't at their best, and it was a nice bounce back from Saturday's home opener.
Well, Charlie, first off, all organ music is happy music.
Yes.
I'm a big organ music guy. Secondly, yes, there was a little bit of bend, no break in the second period. It wasn't the prettiest game, but they got the win, and that's all that mattered. I really liked the third period. I mean, you know, to score a power play goal, to score an empty net goal, those are two special teams goals in my book, and any coaching staff will tell you, you win the special teams battle, you play even 5-on-5, you're going to win 80% of your hockey games, and that's basically the way it played out. So shout out to Spencer Knight. I mean, he's a special goalie, and we saw in the Montreal game he didn't get the win with 15 seconds to go. They gave up that late goal, but he certainly got it tonight, and he was a big part of it.
A much more disciplined game by the Blackhawks too after Saturday's home opener. The Hawks had they were on the penalty kill 10 times, you mentioned it, essentially an entire period against the Montreal Canadiens. They still almost found a way to win that game. They were 15 seconds away from pushing it to overtime, but I liked they were much more disciplined in this game, Chicago was.
Yeah, you know, that can be a learning experience. You know, you learn from mistakes like that, and I'm sure the coaching staff made it an emphasis. And Jeff Blashill, in his talk with you, the pregame show, it's a great talk. He said, you know, maybe some of those calls were 50-50 calls, ticky-tacky, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, we put ourselves into position to be in a bad position to take penalties, to drop penalty. And that's what happened. Guys were reaching with their sticks, and guys were behind their checks, and that sometimes happens. So that didn't happen tonight. They were on their toes for the most part, except for the second period. We'll throw that one out. But, you know, for the most part, they were playing on their toes, and that's what you want. You want to see aggressive hockey from your team, and I think that's a big reason why they ended up with a win.
If you heard that mini roar in the background, it's because DeAndre Swift just had like a 20-yard rush, and the Bears are driving in the background as you're talking, Steve. So it's like the Hawks get a win here at the United Center. The Bears are trying to get one over in Washington. And how about this on 720 WGN? We got a Blackhawks postgame show, and then Hamp and OB are waiting right after us. They're going to get it. I love listening to them. They're going to have a passionate post-game show no matter how this game ends. But yes, we're monitoring that. But if you just heard that little roar in the background, it's the fans that are hanging around here at the United Center that are finishing up watching the Bears game over in Washington. You mentioned Spencer Knight. He was terrific. And in all four games this year, feels like the Hawks have gotten really quality goaltending. Like, that is the least area of concern through four games for Chicago.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. But not only that, it's what else he's bringing to the table. It's the way he plays the puck. And again, he did it tonight. There's at least six or seven times clean breakouts from your goalie. I mean, you know, he's acting like a third defenseman back there, and the defense don't have to worry about skating it out or passing it out because Spencer Knight's doing it. And in that second period, we saw the great poke check. You know, John Wiedemann referred to it almost like Johnny Bauer, and I can remember Johnny Bauer doing that. I grew up in Toronto watching the late, great Johnny Bauer. So he's doing a lot of things out there. And then when we talked to Sam Rinzel at the end of the second period, I believe it was, he talked about how communicative that Spencer Knight is, how much he talks on the ice. And I can tell you, as a former defenseman, that's so important. When you're coming back for a puck and you hear these skates just chewing up the ice behind you, you want to know what to do with the puck. You want somebody to make that decision for you. And if it's a goalie, great. And, you know, he's got a good hockey IQ, Spencer Knight does, so you just trust what he says.
Spencer Knight had, when he got acquired by Chicago, that was one of the things in his first games that was evident. A false alarm, John. John was looking at the Bears game. They showed a blocked field goal. That was from earlier in the
game. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, my God. But he is lining up, so we might have to provide a little play-by-play here. But, yeah, when Spencer Knight got acquired by Chicago from Florida last year, that was one of the most evident things about his game was how he likes to handle the puck and how he's such a great skater too. This sounds so silly, but on a delayed penalty, the way he skates to the bench, how quickly he does, he's just such an elite skater. And so it's fun to watch Spencer Knight do his business. And Jake Moody, right down the middle. Bears win. So we got a Blackhawks win. We got a Bears win. Oh, we're going to have some fun post-game shows here on WGN. As the crowd. Where's the crowd? Where are they? Where's the crowd? I can't even tell where they're watching it from here at the United Center. BMO
Harris Bank Club.
Yeah, there you go. They got all the suites.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? That kind of makes up for Saturday because the Hawks lost, the Cubs lost, and I think U of I football also lost on Saturday.
That's right.
So it was a tough Saturday, so things are trending back in the right direction.
I think Northwestern won, though, didn't they?
They did. A big upset. And Penn State fired their coach, James Franklin, afterwards.
Oh, so that,
they were like a 21-point underdog. And So anyway.
Spencer Knight, just to follow up on that, I predict that he might score an empty net goal this year. Because
I like that prediction.
Yeah, you know, if you say, and I've not really noticed his skating. You've seen him a lot more than I have. But if he can get to loose pucks, you know, and the other team dumps it in, he gets to a loose puck, and I know he can fire it, you know, 200 feet down the ice easily. Maybe he'll go for the empty netter. I'd like to see that.
All right, so I think we're waiting for our post-game downstairs. It's going to be Teuvo Teravainen. He might have been watching the Bears finish, too, so maybe we didn't want to take him away. But he will be joining us shortly. The third line of Ryan Donato, Jason Dickinson, Ilya Mikheyev, I thought that trio was by far the best of Chicago all night. And the Hawks ran with 11-7, so it was key for that line specifically as the checking line to elevate their game tonight against Utah.
Yeah, and they did. And I think Dickinson being in the lineup changes the dynamics of this team. They just seem a little faster. They seem to possess the puck a little more when he's on the ice. And he tends to calm things down out there. And, you know, typically plays run through the centerman, and he gets the most touches. And it just seemed like Dickinson, and Mikheyev for that matter. I mean, yeah. I've been really impressed in the two games that I've seen him live this year. Mikheyev has been outstanding. I liked him when he was in Toronto. I saw some great games out of him in Vancouver. I'm surprised both of those teams gave up on him. Here's a guy, and I think this is a huge compliment. When you look at a guy on the ice, you think, oh, that guy's 6'3", 6'4", and I looked at the numbers, he's 6'2". He plays bigger than he actually is, so I think that's the ultimate compliment, and the puck just seems to follow him, and that goes to his hockey IQ. You know, you heard that a lot about Wayne Gretzky and all the great ones, Mario Lemieux, the puck follows him. The puck was following him in this game and in the Montreal game, too, so good for him. That'll give him a shot of confidence. Two goals on the night. He had no points coming into this game, so he gets two goals. Watch for a breakout couple of weeks from him.
You raise a great point. Jason Dickinson and Ilya Mikheyev both came to Chicago in trades as salary dumps for the Canucks, and now they are forming two-thirds of the checking line for Chicago, and they're kind of like a dynamic duo. It's really Dickinson and Mikheyev, because they're also the top two penalty killers for the Blackhawks too, and the third line checking. The third winger on that line can kind of be a rotation. But Dickinson, Mikheyev, like, they're the dynamic duo of the checking line, and they came here as salary. I wonder if there are some teams out there that are like, boy, we could use players like that for free.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when those guys get on the third line, you know, typically you think of the third line as a checking line, and yes, they are, but they can put the puck in the net, too. They've got some skill there. And Donato, I'm still waiting for him to break out. You know, we saw the 31 goals last year. That wasn't an anomaly. He's capable of that. I did the outdoor game for the NHL Network. I saw him at ice level. I couldn't believe how hard he worked and how he finished every check. He's a little snake bit right now. He was better tonight. Had some opportunities, and, you know, he's making some better plays. But I think it'll come for him. But, yeah, that line. You get a third line that can score some goals, that's a huge bonus.
It's got to be comforting if you're Jeff Blashill, too, that you can put out the third line against any matchup and feel comfortable knowing that if they're not spending time in their own end, they also have some offensive skill to their game where they can cycle the puck like they were doing tonight. And usually that's the top six, where it's Bedard and Nazar's line where they're getting the offensive zone matchups. But tonight it felt like not only was Dickinson Mikheyev line defending well, but they were also the ones creating on offense. And when you have a line that could do both, I mean, that's a pretty rare combo.
Well, Charlie, the other thing they were doing is when they did have the lead, they were like cycling pucks down low. And that's the other thing, too. You know, the clock can be your friend when you're eating it up in the offensive zone, and that's what they were doing. And they had puck possession. They got the few. They got a few looks too, but for the most part, they just wanted to make sure that they weren't playing hockey inside their own blue line. And they had possession down deep, and you know, all of a sudden you look up at the clock, and it's there's no time left, and it's you know, a lot of it's because those guys are doing such a good job eating up minutes.
So the Hawks went with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen in this game, probably to get Artem Lefshinov back into the lineup and get him some sheltered minutes so he's not out there playing some defensive zone matchups and he can be in more favorable situations. And I thought it worked out well for the Blackhawks because the ice time was pretty evenly distributed among the defensemen. And then up front, you have a guy like Connor Bedard who logged almost 21 minutes of ice time. That's exactly the kind of player that you want to get that extra ice time.
Yeah, and I noticed it was Bedard in there, and it was also Tyler Bertuzzi got a couple of looks on that line. Mikheyev did, Burakovsky. So, you know, you can give some of your skilled guys, I don't want to call it a double shift, but, you know, when that fourth line goes out and you throw one of those guys out there, you know, you're getting an extra shift.
All right, our post-game guest is joining us, Teuvo Teravainen. Teuvo, thanks for doing this. I know you guys got really close in the first three games. We weren't able to pick up a victory, but how nice is it to finally break through and get the first one tonight?
Oh, yeah, it feels great. It's been tight games, every game, one-goal games, and it sucks to lose those games. But we're learning. We're getting better, and today we showed that we can win this game.
Hey, Teuvo, I love your competitiveness, the battle mentality you have. Take us through the empty net goal, because you won the draw, but then there was kind of a turnover, but then you won the puck on the boards. I believe it was Nick Schmaltz you won the battle against. Just take us through that sequence.
Yeah, I was the inside winger there. I'm trying to get out as fast as I can, put some pressure there, and their guy tries to go the D, and I was already there and just tried to battle that puck out. It was bouncing there. Then I just tried to put it in the middle there. I saw a couple guys going that way, so Mickey got a nice empty netter.
Hey, just quickly, did you kick that? Because it looked like maybe some of your soccer skills came into play. Did you have to kick that puck?
I was trying to kick it out, and then I kind of missed it, I don't know, and then after that I saw like in the middle there's some guys.
Teuvo, you were talking about Mikheyev. I mean, I know he got one empty netter, scored the other one too. He has two goals in this game. I thought he was probably the best player on the ice for both sides. What did you think of him, and how nice is it, even the last game, the way he was penalty killing? What have you seen from him this season so far?
He's awesome. He's so fast, and he wins battles, and he's been playing great, and now it's great to see him get the goals too. He deserves it for sure, and a lot played with him, a lot of games last year too, so he's easy to play with.
Your penalty killing was perfect tonight. Not as many penalties as you had to kill against Montreal. What was the message this last couple days from the coaching staff as far as taking penalties is?
Yeah, of course we talk about we can't take that many penalties. That was kind of crazy game, the Montreal game, but yeah, the PK is doing better and better. We're learning. It's a little bit new system, so it's just a good job tonight.
I got to ask you about Frank Nazar. You've had a front row seat playing on a line with him. Even towards the end of last year, you, Nazar, Bertuzzi, that your trio has really clicked. But what have you seen from Frank, his growth from the end of last season and how it's carried into this season?
Yeah, for sure. I played a lot with him end of last year, and he really took some big steps, I feel like. He's so fast, and he's getting more comfortable. You can see, like, he wants the puck more. He's winning more battles and learning the game. So it fits really good with me because I'm kind of slow and he's fast. So I try to put the pucks in his sticks.
Maybe you got to see Spencer Knight a little more than we did when you played out in the Eastern Conference. I'm just amazed at how he plays the puck in his own zone. Just talk about how important he is to the team and the way he played tonight.
He played great, like always. I feel like he competes hard. He's nice and like calm, steady. Like it's easy to trust him when he's out there. And like you said, like he's playing good with the puck too, and helps the D to break the puck.
Hey, last one for you. I know in the Montreal game on Saturday, Frank takes a big hit in the neutral zone, and it looked like you were ready to step in there. You're probably thanking God that Louis Crevier ended up getting in there and dropping the gloves with Caden Gooley. But it feels like You guys are early on, you're developing an identity of wanting to stick up for each other. How important is that? You've been on Stanley Cup winning teams here in Chicago where you see that unification off the ice. How important is that to establish that identity, to have this togetherness about you all?
Yeah, of course. That's like winning hockey. You have to care about your teammates, and you have to step up sometimes. And that's what the good teams do.
Awesome. Well, Tavo, thank you so much for doing this. Congrats on the win, and keep it going in St. Louis.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
All right. That is Blackhawks forward Tavo Teravainen, and he's been part of a really strong trio for Chicago with Frank Nazar and Tyler Bertuzzi, and it's good to see the Blackhawks get a victory. I think Teravainen has been off to a really solid start, and he was one of the key members of the penalty kill in the Saturday home opener against Montreal, Steve.
Yeah, he's just very responsible in his own zone. I think Jeff Blashill really trusts a guy like Tavo, probably why he was out there with the net empty and then protecting the one-goal lead. And of course, Utah with the man advantage. So, or the extra man on the ice. So, yeah, you know, when we first saw Tavo as a rookie with the Chicago Blackhawks, we thought about his offense. Now it's his defense that kind of overtakes everything. So, good to see. And he's one of those ones the coaching staff can really trust.
All right, Steve, thanks for hanging out with us on the today and the second straight game. Appreciate you helping us out here in the booth.
Charlie, I'm here for you. I'm a teammate. Okay?
Yes.
I might not fight for you, but I'm here for you.
We've been teammates in two different spots now, so it's good. It's good to be teammates.
Oh, that's right.
At NBC and now, So it's good. It's good to have you back. But thanks for all your help tonight. The Blackhawks take down the Utah Mammoth 3-1 for their first victory of the season. We're waiting on some post game sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room, and when it does, we'll have it for you here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post game show. Tonight's ice times are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Connor Bedard led the way among the forwards for Chicago at 2049. Mikheyev was right behind him at 1841. He had the second most ice time among Chicago forwards, so much deserved ice time for Ilya. And then on the back end, Wyatt Kaiser led the way for Chicago among all skaters at 21:49. Notably, Sam Renzel logged only 14 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time. So I think when you go 11-7, the ice time is going to be more evenly distributed. But Renzel, usually we're used to seeing him closer to the 20, in between 20 to 25 minutes a game, but he was on the lower end as the Hawks kind of tried to divide up the ice time in this game. We talk about how important the third line of Mikheyev, Dickinson, and Donato has been, specifically Dickinson and Mikheyev. Great to see Jason Dickinson return because he's an instrumental part of that trio on the third line for Chicago. He returned to the lineup tonight, and he just spoke to the media. Let's hear what he had to say after this 3-1 victory for Chicago.
About being tight games and everything, and how nice to pull this one out tonight.
Yeah, it's big. It's big for a lot of reasons. I'd say mainly to learn how to win, right? Like teaching the group as a whole, this is how we do it. This is how we're going to have to do it a lot. We will likely be in a lot of blowouts, so we got to be willing to dig in and play for those tight wins and win every little battle because they matter. And you know, I thought we did a pretty good job of, you know, we gave some things up, but we didn't let it rattle us, we didn't let it shake us, and we kept pushing.
How'd you feel out there?
Pretty good, actually. I spent the first period finding my game again and just like getting back into the rhythm of things and remembering my routes and how to play as a centerman again. You know, you lose a little bit of your, I don't want to say mental sharpness, but like you do have to get back into it quickly, and you got to get yourself going.
What Mikheyev gives sometimes kind of goes under the radar, but when he scores and you see what he did in the penalty kill last game, what do you appreciate about his game?
You know what you're going to get, right? He's a staple of consistency. He goes out there and he does his job. He knows what he's got to do, and he does it. And he does it with pride, and it's not always pretty, and it's not always fun, and like you said, doesn't get a lot of credit every night, but you know, he scores a big goal and people recognize and see, because there's a lot of games he'll walk out with no points. He might end up minus one, and you know, he still would have played a hell of a game, but the stat line just doesn't show it.
First win for Jeff here. Did you guys do anything nice for him after the game?
We got him the puck, obviously. You know, we'll have our little traditions that we're going to do after wins, and the coaches have their thing, and we've got our thing as players. So Nothing crazy, just a huge appreciation for what he's done already for the group and what he wants to do moving forward. So we try to recognize that, and feel like he did a good job of vocalizing it. And, you know, he was very receptive, and, you know, he still said there's a lot more to do.
Was he emotional about it?
It didn't seem like it. You know, he probably holds things close to his chest. I think he's got a good poker face if he was emotional.
How much does it help your confidence to have a guy like Spencer Knight in the second period when it got off the rails a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got good goaltending for. Guys that'll bail you out when you make your mistakes. And Knighty's proved that he's capable. He's and he's willing to step up to the task. You know, and doesn't seem to get to him. He just keeps battling. Shot after shot, and, you know, having that in there gives you reassurance that when you mess up, you're in good hands.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson. How about these numbers for that third line of Donato, Dickinson, and Mikheyev? When the three of them were on the ice tonight at 5-on-5, the shot attempts were 13-5 in favor of Chicago. The shots on goal were 8-1 in favor of Chicago, and the scoring chances were 8-2 in favor of Chicago. When they weren't on the ice, the shot attempts were 30-6 in favor of Utah. Shots on goal were 10-2 in favor of Utah, and the scoring chances were 12-3 in favor of Utah. So it was the Donato Dickinson Mikheyev line that was leading the way for the Blackhawks, and they were a massive reason why Chicago won this game. Burakovsky, after a quiet opener in Florida, where he had no points, no shots on goal. In the last three games, he now has 3 points, 2 goals, and an assist. And he also has 2 shots on goal in each of his last 3 games. That goal that you just heard turned out to be the game winner for the Blackhawks. So congratulations to Andre Burakovsky. He's been a nice early addition after a quiet first game. Spencer Knight, he was named the number 3 star of the game for Chicago, made 21 saves on 22 shots. He has been awesome in the early going for the Blackhawks. Let's hear what he had to say about this 3-1 victory over Utah.
What does it mean to get your first win?
It's good. I think we've had good efforts. I don't really like to focus really on my, you know, just winning the game. I think the process is what matters, and all that, you know, the more we focus on that, more, you know, I think we'll be in positions to win hockey games. You can't just, you know, come to the rink just think about winning. You got to do the winning habits from the start. So
it seemed like in the second period when Utah was kind of controlling the play, you were seeing the puck really well. What was it that was keeping you calm in there?
I think teammates, you know, even when things get maybe a little chaotic, they do a good job at Just being predictable sometimes. So I thought that's the biggest thing, is when we're playing as a unit. Everyone knows what everyone else is doing. Makes it predictable on the reads. So I think my teammates helped me out a lot there.
Tonight was your 50th NHL win. How do you feel?
That's hopefully many more.
First win for Jeff here. I mean, what are your early impressions of him so far?
I like him as a coach and a person. I really appreciate his eye for details, for building a style that is sustainable over time to win not just one hockey game in October, but to build a system that can win continuously over the course of a season and then hopefully into the postseason. That's what really matters, is anyone can win any game on any given night, any team. It's not about that, really. It's about building a system, a culture, a team that can go deep and play in the playoffs. And I think he does a good job at that.
All right, that was Blackhawks goaltender Spencer Knight. You can even feel the calm demeanor that he has, even when he's speaking to the media. You know, it's been a joy to watch him. So through 3 games now, so he stopped 21 of 22 shots tonight against Utah. Through 3 games, he's faced 88 shots. He stopped 81 of them for a .920 save percentage through 3 games. I mean, that's an elite save percentage for Chicago. And when you can have that dependable goaltending from a guy like Spencer Knight, I think that puts the rest of the guys in front of him at ease, knowing that they have a really solid backstop that if they make some mistakes that if Spencer Knight and even Arvid Soderblom, who was great in his first start as well, if they have those two performing at a high level, it allows some of those younger players in front of them to play a little freer. And so awesome to see Spencer Knight continue to play at a high level. I'm looking at the numbers. He saved 1.55 goals above expected. So he was terrific for Chicago in this game. I was a little disappointed in the faceoffs for the Blackhawks in this game. They won 45% of them. Utah came into this game, I know it was only two games, but Utah came into this game dead last in the faceoff department at 35.7%. The Hawks came into tonight 30th in that department at 40.6%. So I thought this might be a night where the Hawks could elevate their percentage in that department, but unfortunately they weren't able to do so. Funny enough, the only guy that was above 50% tonight was Connor Bedard, who only took six draws, but he won five of the six for an 83% win percentage. So I guess that's the positive for Chicago as Connor tries to elevate his faceoff percentage. But yeah, overall, I think the Hawks had in the first period. Looking here, yeah, the Hawks won only 33% of their draws in the first, 6 of 18. So they finished with 45. So they got better in the second and third periods, but unfortunately they weren't above 50% like I thought they were going to be in a game like this where the Utah Mammoth were dead last in the faceoff department in that area. So all good. The Hawks have some time. They have, you know, Michael Pekka and Yannick Perreault, two guys that were elite in that department, two-time Selke Trophy, and Pekka Perreault, who is the all-time NHL winningest faceoff percentage at above 60% to help work with these young guys in that faceoff circle. But hopefully over time and as the season progresses, the Hawks are able to elevate that that faceoff percentage so they can start starting shifts with the puck more often. Jeff Blashill audio. He spoke to the media just a little bit today. Let's hear what Chicago's head coach had to say after this victory for the Blackhawks.
We've talked about the tight games. Just nice to grind one out.
For sure. You know, we've been in this situation four times now where, you know, they're one goal games late. That's a good thing, but you have to find ways to win it. You can't just be close in those games. You have to continue to find ways to win, which we did tonight. You know, there was moments of really good, moments of, you know, I thought the first and third were good. I thought the second we got too passive and defended too much. Just finding that balance of pressure and being above versus being passive, you can still be really good defensively without sitting back. And I thought the first and third we did a better job of that. Ultimately, there wasn't many chances either way in the game, which I think, you know, we'd love to create tons, but the recipe to win in this league on a consistent basis is to give up very few chances. And so we bent a little bit without breaking, and that's something we're going to have to continue to do now. We've got to take that and find ways to create a little bit more without giving up anymore.
Seemed like the ice wasn't great. Did you make any game plan adjustments based on that?
Not really. I think you know, the one thing we talk about when the ice isn't great is you really have to manage it. Then you got to manage the puck. You know, like, you're not going to be able to make as many clean plays as you want to. You know, I'm not out there, so I can't speak of the ice. I know some guys felt like it wasn't as good as they'd love it, but that's the way it goes sometimes. That's what happens in this league. You're not going to have great ice every night. So you get, when that happens, you got to make sure that you really manage the puck.
How much does a healthy Jason Dickinson help?
A lot, you know, and I thought that line was excellent. I thought him and Mikhaev and Donato did a really good job. You know, they weren't matched hard every night or every shift, but they had a lot of shifts against Utah's really good offensive players. And I thought they kind of did the best thing you can do against good players, and that's make them defend and play in the offensive zone. And so between Dickinson, Mikhaev, and Donato, I thought they had a really good night. And, you know, Jason's just he's a good player, you know, and he knows the types of winning hockey plays that you have to make.
That was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Yeah, the Donato, Dickinson, Mikhaev line was unbelievable for Chicago, and a healthy Jason Dickinson plays a massive role to what Chicago is trying to accomplish as the third line has the designated checking role, and they're the ones facing the top lines of the opponents every night. But for them to what they did offensively tonight too was remarkable. It's time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I'm sure you saw it all over social media yesterday, but Oliver Moore had a terrific game for the Rockford IceHogs. He had 3 points, scored 2 goals, and added an assist as the IceHogs improved to 2-0 to start the season for the first time in 8 years. That's an interesting stat there, but a nice start for the Rockford IceHogs. Moore didn't have a point in his first game, but he did have 3 points last night. 2 goals and assist. He has 5 shots on goal in the 2 games, and so he leads the IceHogs so far this season in points. So nice to see Moore off to a great start. Would not surprise me if we saw Moore at some point be a mid-season call-up, depending on how he flourishes in Rockford he could be on the Frank Nazar plan. And Frank last year was supposed to be called up mid-year. Then he gets called up in November because he was really performing well. And so let's see if Oliver Moore's hot start can propel him onto the same path. And finally, let's get to our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Get your coffee out, because Wednesday night's game, it's scheduled for 8:30, but puck drop is going to be at 8:52. Because it is the second game of the TNT doubleheader. It's against the St. Louis Blues at Enterprise Center. The Blues had a 5-0 loss in their home opener to kick off the season. But since then, they've bounced back with wins against Calgary and then Vancouver tonight. They beat Calgary on Saturday 4-2. Vancouver tonight 5-2. Jimmy Snuggerud had a couple of goals for St. Louis. So we'll see the Blackhawks in St. Louis. All right, enough of the Blackhawks show. The Chicago Bears had a huge win on Monday Night Football, a 25-24 victory over the Washington Commanders. We got to get to Hamp and Obi postgame show with Andy Mazur. So that's going to do it here for the United Center. We will see you on Wednesday.